This sermon is brought to you by Shofar East London. Together, living out the fullness of Christ. We hope you enjoy this message.
We celebrated 15 years last week, and I'm wearing my jacket again this week. Not for Pastor Amor, but for my wife. Because we are celebrating 23 years of marriage today. And Sonica likes me to dress up. She's actually, to be honest, frustrated with the East London boys and how they dress. So she's keeping me neat. And so we've been going down memory lane last weekend. Some photos and videos and things. And I want to take us through a few down memory lane, 23 years. So here's a photo of my wife on our wedding day. Say some amoy, my froki, and here's another one. I'm a lucky man. Praise God. So anyway, so my wife on our, when we came back from honeymoon, she was like crying, and that just freaks us guys out. I'm like, don't stop crying. Whatever I must do, let's sort that out. And she was like, we're never going to get married. I'm never going to get married again. I will hope so. And then she suggested that we do a anniversary thing every 5 years, like a wedding every 5 years with like 15 couples, a ceremony, a sit-down dinner, dance, the whole works. And I was just, please stop crying. Yes, we'll do it. We will do it. So here's our 10-year anniversary photo. One of those photos, 10 years later. Here's another one. 10. And 10 years later, the love was still flowing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay. That's making us all awkward. Let's move to the next photo. One of somebody's wedding was good. We had some fun. And then a photo when we were in Brazil on missions, traveling together. It was beautiful. And then our 15-year anniversary, again, big celebration and photo shoot again. And 15 years later, the love was still flowing. Praise God. Next one, love is all you need. Yes. And then we went to a 20 year celebration. Group photo. It was lovely. Such a fantastic time. Again, photo shoot. And then I was like, yo, what did I say yes to? Smile again. Another photo. And then the last one is just all of us celebrating together. And part of why we do the every 5 year thing is because we believe in marriage. We believe in the beauty of marriage. We believe, you know, we want to celebrate just everybody's marriages and invest in marriages. And I've told my wife this many times, and I want to say it again, that, you know, if I have to choose between ministry and my wife, I choose my wife. I'm hoping not to have to choose, but she's my priority. And I think it's something that we need to have in our marriages. There must be no confusion about who's important. Don't sell your marriage for your business or for your work or for your hobbies. You know, let's make it a priority. Amen. So here's a scripture that my wife is a Proverbs 31 woman. It says, who could ever find a wife like this one? You can't, because she's mine. She's a woman of strength and mighty valor. She's full of wealth and wisdom. She is. Oh, she loved it. When I went to Leon Dupria and he prayed and prophesied over me, he prophesied about my wife and he said that I need to keep her close and I need to listen to her wisdom. Yo, she was like, Prophet Leon, preek dit, man. It's prachtig. But she's a woman of wisdom. And as I shared at our Fivefold Academy, it's because of her that I'm still in the ministry. All the challenges we've been through over the years, she would always say, hey, forgive, humble yourself, honor, do what's right, let's stay on track, you know, and I want to really honor her for that. She is the most godly woman that I I know or ever have met, you know, and she's a treasure, and I love her so much. Hallelujah. The price paid for her was greater than many jewels. Absolutely, I paid a lot. Every 5 years, we're paying a lot. Her husband has entrusted his heart to her, for she brings him the rich spoils of victory. She does. And we often joke, you know, when people look at me and they're like, oh, I don't know about Andre, but then they look at Sonica, we can trust her. So Andre's okay. Andre's okay. She makes me look good. All throughout her life, she brings him what is good and not evil, and she does. Verse 13, she searches out, continues to possess that which is pure and righteous. She delights in the work of her hands. And I originally fell in love with her because of her purity, because I come from a messed up background, and I just fell in love with her purity, her love for Jesus. Verse 14, she gives out revelation, truth to feed others. And she's an amazing preacher. Amen. She is an incredible teacher. I want to honor her for that. She is like a trading ship bringing divine spoils from the merchant. She brings revelation from the throne room of heaven. And I want to honor her. And as I said to her, I want to say it again. Your mission is, this is our lifelong mission, to still to be together at 95, still to be romantic, and doing revival meetings in the old age home. That is the mission. You wheelchair people, get out in Jesus' name and run. That is a dream. Okay, but I want to take a moment just to just pray for every marriage in the house. If you're married, quickly stand. We want to pray a blessing over you. I want to encourage all of us, you know, to fight for your partner's heart. This is like, if you get this right, you're going to make it. Fight for your partner's heart. Humble yourself. Say you're sorry, guys, often. Let's practice, all the men, I am sorry for what I'm going to do. We just tend to push our wives' buttons. Stupid jokes, wrong timing, that kind of thing. That's what I sometimes do. But contend for a healthy heart. Contend for your partner's heart. Fight, guys, fight for her heart. Ladies, fight for his heart. Do whatever it takes. You don't want to lose. Don't miss what you have. Don't miss what you have. Allow the Lord to touch your eyes. I want to pray for that and just blessing over all our marriages. So, Father, we thank you for the gift of marriage. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord, that each one of us, we are stewards of our own hearts and our partner's heart. And Lord, we just pray in the name of Jesus for life to flow in, reconciliation, healing to hearts, soft hearts, forgiveness, to forget the disappointments of the past, and to allow your love to heal. In the name of Jesus. Lord, just right now, we release blessing over every marriage under the sound of my voice. God, I pray that our eyes would open to see how precious our partner is. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we renounce every assignment of the enemy. We break off adultery and lies and lust and things that wants to come between husband and wife. Jesus, right now we declare every marriage is blessed in this place. Let your kingdom come. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everybody say, amen, amen. Yes, now kiss your brides. Yes, I'm a lucky man. And all the single people in the house get married to the right person. Okay, not to the wrong person. So as we've been saying, we've had an awesome weekend. And I really want to prepare your heart. First service was just incredible. If you're struggling with something, the Lord's going to set you free. Now, we believe it. It's wonderful to do kingdom with friends. And Armo, Pastor Armo is a friend. We've just been connecting so beautifully. And just love what the Lord has placed upon his life. He knows that he knows that he knows that he is loved. There is no insecurity in this man. He must just lay hands on everybody in the house. And he really carries an anointing to bring freedom and the love of God. So let's open our hearts and receive. Amen. Let's give him a hand.
Thanks, Andre. For a moment, I thought Andre is going to kiss me. I have a colleague at George. His name is Luke. He loves kissing me in front of people. So it's just very awkward. On the cheek, though. On the cheek. Great. So what a privilege to be in this house. What a privilege to serve and to be welcomed by a blessed couple. Eh? Well done. You guys are doing well. Like I said on Friday, they create a safe space. And the leadership team, thank you for also just helping and assisting in that. But this is a safe space to meet with Jesus. It's a safe space to bring your stuff. It's a safe space to confess your sin. It's a safe space for you just to be yourself. Not that Andre and Sonika is not pushing the boundaries in terms of where the kingdom must go, but really just creating a safe space because they love one another. Their priorities are intact, in place. So well done. I think God is so proud of what he is doing through these people and how you're facilitating the presence of God. So well done. If you can give yourself a hand, I think that's precious. So my name is Armor, and my name actually, it doesn't mean love, although it means love in Latin and also in French. It actually comes from my grandfather, and he was born in Nigeria. My great-grandfather was a missionary there, and there was a blind guy that walked into the room where he was lying as a little baby. His name was actually Gerrit. My name is also Gerrit. Can you say Gerrit? Gerrit. And then this blind guy walked in, heard my grandfather cry, and he said Amor, which means scream in the Tiv dialect. And then he also then prophesied and said, my grandfather will be the voice of the Father. So growing up, my mom would say, hey, this is what your name means. You're the voice of the Father. So I started with engineering. In the second year of engineering, I felt the Lord saying, hey, you need to be the voice of the Father. You are called to go into full-time ministry. So my dad's also a Duomini. My grandfather's a Duomini. My dad has four brothers, three of them are Duominis. So it's basically the family business. So I had to say yes. But I'm so grateful because there's something about just being in the will of the Lord that just blesses you. So just so grateful to be here. And I just want to share a simple message with you. And it's about the freedom that we have in Christ. But before we do, I just want to also give you a visual of my family. So Andre thinks Sonika is the best. I think my wife's the best. Okay. So there's my wife, four kids, and our dog called Chase. So the first time that I properly declared my love to Cornell, to my wife, she did this. She said, no, I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear this. And she ran off into a res at Stellenbosch. And I was like, come on. So I worked hard for that. Really worked hard. Paid my price. It came at a cost. There's another story that also, where somebody also said no. And I'm going to tell this to you because I think it's so powerful. I shared it on Friday. Because this was the massive revelation about Christ in me and Christ living on the inside. Not only Christ over there. So we're on a beach at Betty's Bay. My dad's doing me. There's a camp. He does an altar call. We do an altar call. People respond. But three boys says, we don't believe that Jesus is the only way. What about the Muslims? What about the Buddhists? What about evolution? Surely Jesus cannot be the only way. My dad, being a profound wise man, says, great, I can try and argue you into the kingdom, argue you into understanding that Jesus really is the way. But let's just rather ask the Holy Spirit that's always here present with us to come and convince you. My dad prays a simple prayer, and then one of them starts manifesting a demon. So I'm at a distance, and I'm like, oh, great. There's something spiritual happening. Just went to a course in Stellenbosch at a church called Shofar, And they said, hey, they will lay hands on me. They laid hands on me. And then they said, this language, ba-ba-ba-ra, that I'm speaking is really powerful. Although I had no emotional witness or spiritual witness that I really received the Holy Spirit. But I saw something spiritual happening there. And I was now, I'm going to try and see if the thing that I received was really as powerful as people said. So I walked there and I'm just praying in this ba-ra-ba-ba language. And as I get closer, this guy who was looking my dad turned towards me, and there's the second no. And he said, "Nia!" in Afrikaans. Like I said on Friday, for the English people, it means no. I always say, it's not only the Himmels at all, the demons also understand and speak Afrikaans. And for me, it took me quite a while to realize why that was such a powerful experience. Why was that such a powerful experience? Because little Almore, back then, 19 years old, still addicted to pornography, struggling with masturbation. Why was that so powerful? And it took me a while, and after probably like 5 years, I realized the reason why it was so powerful was because for the first time in my life, Jesus was not only a reality over there, somebody that we pray to over there, but he was actually manifesting on the inside of me. Was Christ in me. The Holy Spirit represented Jesus on the inside of me. And the devil wasn't afraid only of armor, but the devil was afraid of Jesus in the inside of armor. Massive revelation. So now when I walk around, I understand that there's no distance between me and God, because Jesus is represented by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I am one with God. Even though sometimes I still sin, get myself into a mess, I know my primary identity is that I am in Christ. The Spirit of God lives on the inside of me. And that's really my invitation also for you today. Because when you understand that Jesus is living on the inside, when you surrender to the fullness of God, then there's freedom available to you on a much higher level than you're currently experiencing. Because we have settled for this low level of existence. That's my big fight with the church today. Are we really appropriating everything in faith that Jesus died for? Jesus died for everything. He died for your anxiety. He died for your fear. He died for great relationships. He died so that he can be in relationship with you, so that that love that you receive from the Father can also spill over to the people in your family, to your colleagues, and your world. But because we have this limited understanding of Christ in us, we don't have real impact in the world. We don't really understand the fullness of the freedom that he's given us. Therefore, we struggle to help the people with freedom. We need to get to the drug lords, the prostitutes, the corrupt politicians. Those people should come into the church, and the moment they walk in, they must meet with Jesus in a person. They must encounter Jesus in a person. You're going to welcome them. You're going to say hi. And the moment you touch them, because you're so full of the Holy Spirit, the power of God will touch them. The anointing will touch them. And they're like, whoa, what is this? This is something new. I understand that there's something happening in my life. I don't know. And then the church will give them language for what's happening. It's just Jesus loving you through a person. So I want us to go, and you can open your Bibles at Romans 3, 21 to 28. We're going to get there at the end, but if you can just go there, and I want you to understand that passage, so it's also for you to go home later on and just study it again. But we're going to start at Romans 10, verse 9, and then later we're going to go to Romans 3. It says this, simple, one sentence. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then there's a promise connected to that. And that is, this is the promise. You will be saved. So what is salvation? What does that mean? It's the Greek word sozo, which means not only that you get a ticket into heaven. In other words, if you die today, you're going to be with Jesus forever. And that's great. That is a great understanding of salvation, but it's so much more if you really study what salvation means in the Bible. It also means that there is freedom available. Freedom from sin, one, but also freedom from your trauma, freedom from your pain, freedom from your insecurities, freedom from your inability to build great relationships, freedom. And then also healing. Healing in your physical body, healing so that you can have a wholesome life, so that you can be whole. All of that is included in salvation because Jesus died for, yes, your sins, but he also died so that you can be reconciled to a living God. And the moment you are reconciled to a living God, the life of who God is starts flowing into you and it starts taking up all those spaces where the hurt and the pain and the sin and the sickness in your body is. And what happens when Jesus comes in, then the devil goes out. And we should just surrender. Lord, I surrender. All of this pain, all of the hurt, all of my sin, all of my sickness, I surrender. Lord, and I receive the fullness of your salvation. So how do we get to this? I love cause and effect. I love reading the Bible. Hey, Lord, show me the promises of Scripture. Because if Jesus says it, then I believe it. I was brought up, if this is what the Word says, then it's what the Word says. This is what God's saying. So we can take it to be real and to be trustworthy. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. What does that mean? It means that Jesus is the boss. It means that you are willing, at least in the initial stages of your relationships, to declare that you are desirous to bring your will into submission of the will of God. To say, hey, it's not my will anymore, but it's the will of God. I'm giving up my right and I'm surrendering to Jesus. He is now the boss of my life and I'm willing to go where he leads me. I'm willing to say yes. Jesus is Lord. But then also with that, it's a statement that's absolutely true, not only in your relationship, but in the universe. Jesus is the King of Kings. He is the big boss of big bosses. There's no authority higher than him. I want to get three volunteers. Okay, I'm not going to do anything funny to you. So just, you know, those of you at the Open Heavens Conference, can I get three volunteers? Okay, Daniel, the big guy, okay, you're very secure, so you can stand on this step over here. Okay, you're going to represent the devil, that's why. It's not a, okay, you're going to stand at the top. Hopefully you're taller than Daniel. Ah, it'll work. Great, and you can stand at the bottom, or just at the first step. Just the first step. Okay, great. So when we are declaring that Jesus is Lord, what we are saying is, that there are different levels of authority. We're actually implying this. So we're saying God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit is on the highest level of authority. So God created the devil. Do you know that? Some of us think that the devil and God, they're on the same level, but they're not. There's no fight between God and the devil. In the spirit, he's much bigger than you, don't worry. There's no fight. It's like the All Blacks, or let's say Springbok team, coming to East London, and they go to Grenslaar School, the primary school, and they go and play against the Grade 1 C rugby team. What's going to happen? The moms are just going to drag the kids out from the field. They won't even allow for the game to start. And this is the fight between God and the devil. But somehow we've glorified the devil and his powers in the way that you talk about your issues, your sin, your hurts and your pain. I'm not belittling your pain. I work with people all the time and the things that people go through and the things that people do to one another, it's horrible. It should never have happened. But God is here and he is on this highest level of authority. So we are declaring Jesus is Lord. So the reason why we're using Jesus specifically is because Jesus conquered the devil on behalf of us. Because Jesus came down to the lowest level. He actually had an encounter with the devil where the devil said, hey, I'll give you all these kingdoms if you just bow and worship me. Why could the devil do that? Because Adam and Eve gave the devil that right. Adam and Eve gave the devil the authority over the place that they were given authority, and that place is called earth. And then Jesus had to resist that temptation, and then he had to conquer the devil. But as he conquered the devil, so kick the devil, hit the devil quickly, he also gave us, the ability to walk up onto his authority level. So that's why Ephesians 2 verse 6 can say that we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Are we still victims if we are seated with Jesus? No. So you're not a victim of your sin. You're not a victim of your hurt. You're not a victim of your marriage. You're not a victim of your financial position. In the spirit, you cannot be a victim. It's impossible to say that you're a victim. It doesn't make sense in the spirit. It might feel like that in the natural, but it's impossible to say that in the spirit. Because now you are seated here with Christ Jesus. So when we are declaring that Jesus is Lord, that confession, it's just a confession of the reality that already exists. Jesus is Lord. But while we are saying that, Jesus comes and says, great, because you're not submitting to me as your Lord, I'm pulling you up to my level and I'm seating you in this heavenly place with me, and you can rule and reign over the devil. And Romans 16:20 says that the God of peace will soon crush Satan where? Under our feet. Daniel, bless you. You guys are great. Awesome. So that's only the first part. The second part is believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. So not only believe in your mind that God raised him from the dead. And I think this is specifically chosen by Paul because we have such a struggle to believe in our heart. We have such a struggle. People would say to me, oh, I know that God's my provider, but I don't feel like God's my provider. What does it mean? It says that you believe in your mind. Intellectually, it makes sense that God is my provider. Reading scripture, it makes sense. But I struggle to believe that in my heart. That's why having an encounter, coming to an Open Heavens conference, where God can bypass your mind, hit your body to the point where you sometimes fall down, and then impart in you the love that he has for you, or the goodness, or some other truth, is so powerful. Because God loves to bypass the mind, because often our minds come in the way of his glory. Because some of us are trying to figure out God, and then eventually we say, hey, we've figured out God, and then God says, hey, if you've figured out me, then your God's too small, and it cannot be me. Because your minds cannot grasp the fullness and the goodness and the glory of who God is. So God wants us to be able to believe in our hearts. That also means that we need healing from our trauma. We need healing from our hurts and our pain. And we need to surrender that so the fullness of salvation can come to us. Powerful. Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. Raising from the dead speaks of victory. Speaks of victory. God wants to bring us into the fullness of his freedom, his victory. John 3:16 verse 18 explains to us how this worked. It says, for God so loved the world. God so loved you. He so loved you. He so loved you that he sent and gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So God saying, hey, listen here, I'm sending a messenger. I'm sending my son to reveal my love to you. Receive it, receive it, receive it. Because once we've received the love of God, it's easier to trust God. And when it's easier to trust God, it's easier to say, Jesus, not my will, but your will. Jesus is Lord. And then once we've received that love, also receive healing. Wow, I can trust God with my deepest pain, my deepest hurt. And then we see that the freedom starts manifesting in our lives. And the demons start coming out. And this lady had come to me and she explored all the different religions. And we were helping her with healing and she received much healing. There was abortions involved and some horrible stuff she went through, abuse and molestation and rape. Just horrible, horrible, horrible things that happened in her life. And then there was this demon manifesting and the demons didn't want to go. And then I started quoting Philippians 2 and I said, every knee will bow. And as I said, every knee will bow, she just fell to the ground. And I'm like, hey, Lord, I know the formula. The next one is, she must just say, Jesus is Lord. So I said, hey, we have him, we have him. Just say, Jesus is Lord. And as she said, Jesus is Lord, the demon left. Because he cannot stand anymore if Jesus is Lord of everything. So Jesus is not only Lord of the foyer of your house. He's not only Lord of the living room or your study or your bedroom. He's also Lord and should be Lord of that room there at the back where you keep your hurt, where you keep your bitterness towards your grandfather or to your dad. So when you say Jesus Lord, what you want to do is you want to give the keys of all the rooms to Jesus. And then deliverance is easy. It's like, okay, great. Lord, I don't know what's in there, but you will be able to deal with the stench. Take the keys, go. And then God will open the door. And sometimes, yes, there will be a manifestation. Even over the weekend, there was a lady who used a cuss word in church. But it wasn't the lady. It was the demon. And sometimes we are so afraid that those things, the stench will come out and we will be embarrassed. Take the embarrassment. Rather now than one day in heaven when you realize, well, there's so much more for you. There was so much more for you, but you didn't allow for the Lord to take the keys. If you have a friend, bipolar depression, for me, it's a horrible disease. And you would tell him, hey, listen, you're going to come forward. East Chauffeur, East London. You're going to stand here in the front. There's a pastor. He's going to pray for you. Andre is his name. He's going to pray for you. Then you're going to fall to the ground. You're going to do the funky cockroach. You're going to embarrass yourself. But as you stand up, then you're going to be set free. You know that most people that I know that struggle with that will take it. So do not allow for your pride or your fear of man to keep you from freedom. And the story about the funky cockroach, I always share when we do the freedom encounter. So we had people up sharing testimonies of our God healed them of their hurt and our God touched them and the love that they received. So there's a lady testifying. And then as she was testifying, the Holy Spirit came upon her and she fell to the ground. She was lying there. And I was telling this story. And while I'm telling the story, a mocking demon starts manifesting, literally doing the funky cockroach. So I thought, wow, that's very funny. Not very creative, demon. So I went to her and said, hey, God loves you. Picked her up, put her in the chair. And then later on, she got deliverance. And her husband got delivered of epileptic fits. He said from the day that he was conceived, well, that's how far back you can remember, he was diagnosed with epileptic fits. And God healed him in that moment. So don't allow your pride or your fear of man to interfere with your freedom. Okay, Romans 3:21 to 28. It says this, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. So it speaks of Jesus coming, saying, hey, he made to be in right standing with God available to us apart from the law. So in other words, where the law was asking of people to perform, do all the right things, and then maybe you might be in right standing with the Lord. But we know the law failed in that sense because we are horribly bad at following the law. So Jesus made a way. So righteousness came to us apart from the law in Jesus Christ. Verse 22, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction. And then verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That is true for all of us. All of you were born into sin. You didn't become sinners when you sinned. You were born into sin. And therefore you sinned. That is our primary identity when we get born. Until when? Verse 24, and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So it says that we are justified in Christ Jesus. So what that means, being justified is a legal term. It's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who is also the judge calling you into the courtroom. And He's saying, hey, Andre, you had a mess. You sinned. You are guilty. I'm supposed to send you to prison. I'm supposed to send you to hell. But because you've accepted Jesus Christ, I look at you through the blood of Jesus. And me, I am the judge of the world. I'm telling you, you are innocent. Andre says, well, I cannot believe it. Look at all my mess. Look at all my sin. And Jesus said, no, because of me. Therefore, the judge is telling you, the Father is telling you, you are innocent. And Andre says, no, I'm a mess. And God says, no, you are innocent because of the blood of Jesus. And that is a gift. It is a grace. We receive it for free when we confess Jesus is Lord. And we receive the fact that He was raised from the dead in our hearts. We should love the judge. So I'm going to quickly go to Psalm 96. It says, let the heavens be glad, verse 11, and let the earth rejoice, let the sea roar, and all that fills it, let the field exult, and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for He comes to do what? To judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in His faithfulness. Because if you are in Jesus, you want God to come as the judge to declare that you're innocent. Who of you have felt guilty in the past? Like the accuser would come, Satan is his name, and he would say, hey, you are guilty of this. You are guilty. You're a bad husband. You're a bad mom. You're doing this thing wrong. Look at all the things you've done. Hey, that thing's going to haunt you. And then you need the judge. So you need to walk into the courtroom with all the faith that you have by the grace of God and the blood of Jesus so that you can see and hear what the God of the universe says as the judge. Hey, you are innocent. And then you go to the devil. Hey, I'm innocent. Bah! The devil's gone. So John 16 speaks of what the Holy Spirit will come and do. And it says the Holy Spirit in verse 8, He will come to convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And I just want to focus what He will do with judgment. Because when we hear judgment, we think, well, God's going to look and He's going to find fault and He's going to look for the sin and He's going to look for the unbelief and He's just going to come and rebuke. Yes, in a relationship, He often comes. He says, listen, yeah, you need to work on this. Work on this thing with your wife. Work on this thing with your colleagues. Hey, work on that anger issue. Work on it. But when it comes to judgment, this is what the Holy Spirit will come and do. Hear this. Verse 10, concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. And then verse 11, concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. So the one that's controlling the room at the back with the hurt and the pain and the sin, he's already judged. So once you stand in front of the Lord, who's the judge, and He says you are innocent, then you go to the ruler and you say, hey, you are already judged. Get out of here. This is not who I am anymore. And you allow for the Jesus that's on the inside of you, living through the Holy Spirit, to take the keys, kick the devil out, and there he goes, so that you can live in the fullness of freedom that Jesus died for. Don't settle for less. Because God loves you. And it's only when the fullness starts manifesting in your life that it's so much easier to start helping other people also in that fullness. If you're still struggling with things and hurt and pain, still go out. Because sometimes in helping other people to understand the fullness of what Jesus died for, you don't realize, wow, I'm actually preaching to myself here. I'm still struggling with these insecurities, and now I'm telling that person, hey, go and read that scripture and stand before the judge, and you're innocent. Hey, rebuke the accuser, rebuke Satan. I must actually just practice what I preach. So it's so powerful to have a place where you can receive, where you can understand who Jesus is, but then also that push towards going out, say, hey, now take the truth, the little small step that you've already taken with Jesus, you can help other people also to take with Jesus. Much of my freedom has come from just ministering to people. So for instance, forgiveness. There's a guy who came to me that he molested his daughter, so I confronted him. So we had to go to the police, etc., etc. But then I walked him through forgiveness. Him receiving forgiveness. The most horrible thing that I can think you can do is to molest your daughter. Most horrible sin that I can think of. And he confessed his sin, and I could minister to him forgiveness. I'm saying, listen here, you are stepping into the courtroom right now and the judge of the universe. We don't know what's going to happen with the earthly courts, but the judge of the universe, because he looks at you through the blood of Jesus, will tell you, you are innocent. That's how good our God is. We should have the fear of the Lord in us to not defile people with our actions and disobedience, whether it's sexual immorality or any kind of sin. But we should understand, if we have failed and we are humble, then we can come to the judge to receive mercy and grace.
This sermon is brought to you by Shofar East London. Together, living out the fullness of Christ. We hope you enjoy this message.